Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, you are UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have author Muhammad on the line with me. He's a filmmaker, director, has a lot of projects underneath his belt. We're going to get into it. But he has a new film out called 12. Author Muhammad, tell us a little bit about the film that you have out now.
Well, 12 is a film that I wrote when I was getting my MFA, and it was part of my thesis. And so when I went to get my MFA, I wanted to focus on writing, because I believe that the key in this business is always the story, okay, you know, and writing good scripts and that type of thing. So my goal was to challenge myself and write a horror film, which I had never done before.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the challenge. And I thought that's what I had done. So I actually shot the movie and found out, yeah, it still can be categorized as a slight horror film, but there's so many more elements in it. And some people have said psychological thriller. Some people have said suspense. But what it also has is humor.
Right.
In it, and, you know, a lot of humor.
Right.
So the film is about a family, primarily a black family, that gets stuck in a house. And they're stuck in this house for 12 hours. And this family, they like to play dominoes. And, you know, dominoes begins with the big six, the number 12.
Uh-huh.
12, you know. And so that's another element of 12. And also, back in the day when I was doing my research, I discovered that initially, you know, dominoes was made out of the elephant tusk, you know, so the ivory. And so basically they're trapped in this house, and it's almost like a metaphor, whereas we all have skeletons in the closet.
Nice.
Again, you know, the number 12, you know, you got 12 months in a year. You have 12 people that sit on a jury. You have 12 notes in a musical scale. You have disciples.
Right.
And number 12 is just very, very prevalent. And so I centered around, you know, that number 12, the family getting stuck in the house playing domino, you know, which are, like I said, like in the hood, we call them bones.
Right.
And so all those elements wrapped up makes up the movie 12.
I love it. How did you become interested in filmmaking?
We've talked before, we actually started the interview, and it's funny you had mentioned about someone that does animation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even though I didn't know this was animation at the time, when I was in elementary school, I don't remember hardly anything. And as far as projects, I don't remember nothing about elementary school. But this one thing, and that is, we have to take an action figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we would take a picture, and you would move it a little bit, and then you take another picture, and you move it a little bit, and you take another picture, and move it a little bit. And once you take all these pictures and run them through like a projector, it made it look like the figure was moving.
Right.
And that project always stuck with me. And at that time, of course, I didn't know anything about animation or filmmaking. But I later find out, whenever I tell that story, people say, oh, that's like stop-mation or something like
right,
that.
Right,
you know. But I just remember that project always stuck with me. And when I was young and in high school, I had one job, and it was at a movie theater. And when I was working at the movie theater, when Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing came out, and I had the privilege to watch that movie over and over and over again, so much so that, you know, I met Spike Lee before, and I almost wanted to tell him I should pay him some money how many times I watched the movie for free. But, yeah, that film really inspired me. But still, growing up, like, in an urban neighborhood, there was no mentors and no one
right.
to help or guide you. So I thought I was going to play football, like professional football. And that was the only thing that was really on my mind. So even when I went to college on a football scholarship, and when you pick out your classes, you know, and your major, of course, I picked out communication, because under communication was cinema.
Right.
So I was like, man, that's, you know, I didn't even know you could study cinema.
Right.
Yeah. So I studied cinema. And I ended up tearing my ACL, like, my freshman year.
Oh, man.
Got into it with the coach in my sophomore year. So we ended up getting a new coach. And me just focused on football, ended up leaving school. Went to school, played one more semester, and I just left and started making movies. And the crazy thing is, my first film, feature film, I shot on 16mm film.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was my breakthrough in the film world. And I really was just learning from books, because I didn't stay long enough in school, you know, so I learned by watching movies. And even before I went to college, me and a few of the other football players, we would always do, like, skits with my friend's VHS camera. So I'm taking you all the way back.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting to hear Super 8.
You know what? I didn't shoot on Super 8, But my dad, when we was born, and I found this out later on, when he gave me the camera, my dad had bought an 8mm film
camera. That's right.
Bell and Howell to film us when we was growing up. And I remember looking at those home videos.
Yes.
And just the graininess and the texture.
Yes.
That always, I was like, man, this looks like a movie.
That's right.
And yeah, so I shot my first film on 16mm film, and that was about 16 feature films ago.
What was the name of it? And what was it
Solitaire.
About?
So Solitaire was about a guy who basically, it's almost like a film where he's his own therapist, but you don't find it out to the end.
Oh, okay.
And it's about, he was abusive to his wife, right? Mm-hmm. And so she kicks him out the house, and you see him in his hotel, and he's just reliving everything and having this conversation. But the conversation is with himself. Hence, that's why it's called Solitaire.
Right.
But not only that, he was playing solitaire while he was in the hotel room by himself.
Man, I love the way you think, and I love how you come up with the concepts of your films. And you've been doing this for a while, and when you're doing a film, you have to cast people. And you've cast some wonderful people. That can be kind of hard. What was your process like? I will let you name names, but you have some pretty well-known people underneath your belt in some of your films.
And again, I think it goes back, number one, to the story, because that's what I think that will attract good talent is first of all having a story that they are wanting to be a part of.
Right.
So again, I think that's the key. And then after that, I don't personally cast them out with my casting director, whoever's casting them. They're having my ideas. This is what we're looking for, and depending on the budget, will depend on who we reach out to. So I would say some of my most prevalent or Hollywood type names are like Charles Dutton, mm-hmm. who we had, and he was Coach James in Carter High. Vivica Fox played his wife mm-hmm. in Carter High. Also in that film was David Banner, who played Ross West, an attorney. Pooch Hall, who also played a coach in the film. So that was the film that we actually had a theatrical release, limited theatrical release. And it did, very well, and went to BET and Netflix after that. Also, First Impression, I had the privilege to work with Laquanda Plant, who casted that. We worked with Lisa Arendelle Anderson, Elise Neal, Lamon Rucker, Tommy Ford, God rest his soul, Cara Payne. And and lately my film that hasn't come out yet, Beer for Love 2, Don Haskinney, Blue Kimball, Eva, Black China. It's like a lot of came back in there. I worked with David Banner again. Also Dennis DeWitt Henderson. So I worked with a few people in my film that's out now. 12, Tiffany Black, Lance Nichols are in there, Odessa Easton. And Ted Lane. God, can't forget about Ted.
Man, that's good. I always think about that when people get well-known people to be in their films. I'm a second and third level question person. So you get them in the film. Do you put a clause in there for them to help you promote it, or that's not included because of the budget?
That is such a great question. Because when I made my prayer before this, right, Austin, I just made my prayer. Even though you can be focusing on your prayer, which I always try, that's the goal. But that crossed my mind because that's such, especially in the independent world, when you get that type of talent, they very seldom do they do that. I actually had a conversation with an actress, and it's almost like that's not their job. And we were just having a conversation. I wasn't asking them to do it, but
right.
She was having and she was saying, as an actor, that's not their job. And I think it'll benefit them just as much as it will the film. And especially now, sometimes you even cast people based on not just their talent, but sad to say, your following.
Right.
Because that's the key, is after you get your film done, and once you have a platform that it's on, is you have to get people to go see it. So it's the marketing and promoting of the film. And if actors just act in it and then move on, then it's like, what's the benefit? But at the same time, I understand. So
right.
When I, in my prayer, after I finished praying, a thought came to my mind is, and it's not something new, but it's something that maybe I should do, and that is offer a point or two into the movie for them to market and promote.
Well,
you know?
let me ask you this. Without them marketing and promoting it, because this is this, mm-hmm. you know, I said I'm second and third level questions. So that was two. Okay. This is the third level. And the third level question is always the hardest. You did acquire them in your film. They do have a name. And then when you push mm-hmm. your film out there, what is really the response? Because whether they promote it or not, if their name can't pull it alone, then why are you giving them a point? And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not, please, everybody, okay. What I'm saying is, right, because, you know, I mentor a lot of people, and this is something I always tell them. You are the brand. You,
right.
Author Muhammad, are the brand. This 12 is your movie. That's your
right.
baby. You acquired a quality actor or actress in it, and then that's it. You have to push it, right? And
right.
the push
right.
is, look how good this film is that they wanted to be a part of it. Because at the end of the day, you paid them. So they're kind of,
right.
it is true. Like, well, no, I ain't going to help you push the film because I got my check and I'm gone, or whatever the case
right.
may be. Back to my first level question is, and that's why we're in the red in this industry, because if we
right.
would help push the small person into a bigger position, then as they grow, we all grow. But that's for another
right.
time. We're going to stay on 12
right.
and we're going to stay on Arthur Muhammad's film 12 as a director and producer of great films. And salute to you for doing excellent films. You didn't come out doing no thug film. You didn't come out. It's not over the top trying to grab a certain crowd. I love your craftsmanship. And I want to just say thank you for that. Okay.
Okay. No, but you're right. Point. And me and another filmmaker who I talk to often, the key is really for the filmmaker to become the brand. I mean, even as far as you getting it distributed, because a lot of times, unfortunately, the distribution company, they ask who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. But I want to get to the point where they don't ask who's in it. They know Arthur Muhammad did it.
Exactly.
And that's sufficient. So that's the level that I'm striving for.
Yeah, and you'll get there. And, you know, it's like, okay, calm down. Let's get back to the interview. Thank you for allowing us to sidebar. And that's why it's called Urban Buzz Magazine, where key players speak, because we get to just go on and talk about what we need to talk about. So budget and equipment. You said you did your first film. I'm sure you didn't have budget and equipment like you have now. How has that evolved? Because I come from the film days, okay? Now you got the digital age and you can shoot a whole film on your iPhone. So
right.
tell me about this
yeah.
new process.
Well, one thing that I'm very glad of is that I did shoot my first film on film.
Right.
Because what that did for me as a filmmaker and director, it made sure that I planned my shot.
Come on.
You know, and
oh,
that's
yeah.
what I found out in this new generation. They don't, and I teach film, and I
oh.
give them the 7 P's of production. And I say proper planning prevents piss poor production.
Ooh, I love
it. Those are the things you need to live by when you start to make movies. And that's what I find is lacking in this digital world. Because in the film world, as you know, you need to make sure your f-stop is right.
Come
your
on.
Your shutter speed and all that, and your lighting, because your film has to be exposed at a certain...
Yes, yes.
So, you know, and the speed of your film, and that you got a 500 fast speed, or you shoot with slow speed, outside film versus inside film.
Come on.
All those things.
Teach.
Today, they just stick a card or a drive and shoot.
Right.
You put it on automatic. And then you shoot all day And one of the things that I also learned is that, especially when you're dealing with your boom operator and other crew members, you know, when you're just running the camera and he's holding that mic and you're not cutting, I've met a boom operator who actually had to have surgeries on his shoulder because he worked in this industry for a long time. He actually worked on my film First Impression. Mm-hmm. And he told me about that. And so that's, and he actually was happy, even though he was shooting on digital, I keep in my mindset, I'm always thinking about film. And I tell people that's where that term, time is money,
yes,
with coin, in the film business.
Right.
Because as that film is running through that camera and you hear it clicking, you know that's money.
Right, right.
So I think learning on film, or at least shooting my first film on film, it really helped me to, even though I shoot digital now, I try to shoot in a way where I'm not overshooting because I'm still thinking about film, but I'm still planning out my shots as best as I can. Of course, things change, but I say it's always best to change from a plan than not have a plan at all. And so that's what I'm happy, very happy that I learned and started on film.
Yeah, me too. I think that, like you said, it will help you budget better and mm-hmm. use your equipment better. So thank you for sharing with that. What has been one of your biggest challenges in creating a project?
I would say the creation of the project itself is probably coming up with the idea.
Okay.
Because, like I said, the idea is king. And having a good story, and not just a good story, but one that you're passionate about enough to the point where you're going to raise money, bring a crew and cast together, and take up all these people's time, energy, and effort. You know, so I think the biggest obstacle for me is just having that particular story. And then taking time out, especially if I'm writing it, to write the story. I have two scripts over here that I'm glad I have done, you know, written already, that's ready to go. So hopefully in the future I will start shooting that. And then after that, I would say the next biggest challenge is the marketing. You know, and really getting the type of distribution where you feel like you can really get a wide audience. Because I think the key is, for all filmmakers, you want people to see your work.
Right.
You know? So, you know, we do have a lot of platforms, streaming platforms now, that you can go to besides the Netflix or Hulu.
Right.
There's a lot of platforms. But then it's about marketing, promoting, and driving people to that platform.
Right, right. Now, the film 12 is shot on one location, right?
Yeah, now I would say 95% of it is shot inside the house. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, that is a task. You know, you said that you teach film. One of the things I learned in one of my classes was the art of shooting, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where the cinematography mm-hmm. comes in, all of the other elements to creating a film. What was that process like?
One of my favorite films is 12 Angry Men, back to the number 12 again. And I don't know if you saw it or heard of it, but if you haven't saw it.
No, I saw it. I'm a filmmaker. There's certain films that filmmakers must watch, like The Godfather. For the pace of a film, the lighting, the directing. But go ahead.
Yeah. But, that film primarily takes place, that is literally in one room. So I at least had one house where I used different rooms, but it still was a challenge. The main challenge is trying to shoot this house in a way that every room is like a character in and of itself, and you want to block it in a way where it's not the same blocking in every single room. So you get creative. And I'm a big fan of using mirrors as reflections. You know, so I did that a few times. I also am a big fan of Akira Kurosawa and how he blocked scenes, especially with multiple actors in it.
Right.
So I use that blocking style a lot, and, you know, slight camera movement and that, you know, that type of thing. So really trying to be creative with the angle and the lighting and the blocking in different rooms so that it didn't feel like it's just, you know,
right,
stale in the sense. So I think we did a pretty good job at doing that.
Yeah. You know, I talked about your impressive resume earlier, and what I pulled from looking at the titles, watching some of the trailers, is that you focus around love and family. I could be wrong, but what's your take on how you are sending messages out through your projects?
Yeah, I would say I do. I would say that's one of the main focus. I think my main goal is to make films that not only entertain but best serve humanity. So
okay.
It's going to be some type of teaching, and I try to make it where it's not preachy though. But at the end, you get the message. You know the theme of the movie, like the little voice of the film that I did. That's literally about the little voice inside of us. Mm-hmm. But again, that voice is represented by a little boy in the movie, and you don't know that until the end. So,
right.
If you see the movie, I just gave it away. But those are the type of films that drive me, and that's my passion. Again, is just films that not only entertain but best serve humanity.
I love it. I love it. When you're directing, what's something you say to yourself, or what do you look for in the actor to make sure that you guys are connecting?
Well, I would say as long as they are connected to the character. So when I see that the person that we cast is not that person anymore, but have now become the character in the film,
mm-hmm.
as long as they connect to the character, that's what I'm looking for. And the main thing is that, do I believe you? Do I believe that you are there?
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, because I think as a director, you are the first audience.
Right.
You know, and if I don't believe you, how can I expect the audience to believe you?
Right.
So, yeah, ma'am.
Is there an actor you would like to work with that you haven't?
I would say Nicole Beharie.
Okay.
I would love Nicole Beharie. And I mean, a lot of people, when you see her face, you may know her. A lot of people may not know her by her name. And of course, if I ever had the opportunity, I couldn't turn down working with Denzel.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for what you was going to say?
No, I said, and of course, Angela Bassett.
Man, those are our heroes. Those are the ones. Is there anything else about 12 you want to share with us?
Well, I just would like to share that it's streaming right now. It's available on Fandango. So I would really appreciate it if everyone go and check it out. Leave a review. Let me know what you think about it.
Yes, that's key. Please, guys, leave him a review. You know, we have to support these film projects. We have to support our independent people that's out here putting in the work. We work double hard because we have to. So all we ask is that you share, like, leave a review, and tell someone about it, because I still believe that word of mouth is still one of the best marketing tools we still have, especially as independent. And as we say here, once a key player, always a key player. Thank you for stopping by and chopping it up with me and the audience that's listening. And as you continue to put out these wonderful films, again, I salute you. I thank you so much for your work. Please let us be one of your media outlets, and let the people know how they can connect with you on social media or if you have a website.
Good. Thank you very much for having me. And you can connect with me on Instagram. That's A Muhammad Film. So literally A Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, Film. And that's the same on TikTok. And on Facebook, it's just Arthur Muhammad.
Okay.
And also, I have a website, and it's amfilmstudios.com.
Nice. Keep up the good work. We're going to support you here. So, again, thank you. And everybody go out and see 12. Get your popcorn.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
You are more than welcome.